the road you are dealing with someone else now is the same road you were being dealt with somebody else. The same road you on now is the same road you were on when someone had to deal with you with the way you were. But here's how we can do good to all. Here's a way we can perfect doing good. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Can I take my time this morning? Is it okay if we get out at 3 o'clock? I didn't hear no amens on that one. Matthew 7, let's look at verse 3. See, before we can help others, we must examine ourselves. Verse 3 says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and consider not the beam that is in thy own eye?" A mote is a speck of dust. Notice I said a speck. This is a small spot, a tiny amount. A beam is a large timber or a squared off log. Now, you imagine this. You're pulling a speck from someone's eyes and you got a big tree in yours. How can you see the speck for looking at the tree? It says, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." What are we saying here? If you cannot see what is in your own eye, how can you help anyone else? They even tell you on a plane, if in case of emergency and those little things come down for you to put the mask over for oxygen, before you help somebody else, secure your own mask. Huh? Because if you don't, possibility you both gonna perish. You can't get oxygen and they can't get it either. Before you look for someone to forgive you, you should already be forgiving. Amen. Forgive means to stop feeling anger or resentment against. Stop. If I recognize stop, I can recognize I've been doing it. Ask yourself, why am I feeling anger and resentment? Why? Now, resentment is a strong word that means to feel bitter. Why or what has anyone done for you to feel bitter? Is it worth harboring the feelings? Did you know these feelings can put you in a state of depression? You become miserable. You lose sleep. People who lose sleep and medicate because of what they hold inside. Now, I want you to hear what I said. I said medicate, not meditate. You begin to separate yourself from others. And others begin to separate themselves from you. Amen, amen. The key to forgiveness is love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is humble all the time. Not easily angered. God is love and forgave us first. Let's look at Matthew 5:43. You have heard that if it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. This is a pill many still are trying to swallow. Amen. Here is what some of us have been taught. How many heard this? Don't let no one walk over you. Huh? They hit you, you hit them back. Amen. We have been taught to overcome violence with violence. Ain't nobody going to give you anything. If you get something, you got to take it. Children are taught who to hate by example of what they see grown-ups do. Without grown-ups, children can disagree 1 minute and forgive and go on playing the next. Have you ever seen it happen? Did you not do it yourself when you was a child? Forgave and went on. Verse 44 says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Man. Bless them that curse you. Wow. Do good to them that hate you. Mm. Pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you. That's a mouthful, ain't it? How come you just didn't stop at verse 43? Who do you consider as your enemy? Let's briefly define enemy. One who feels hatred towards. To oppose the opposite of. Meaning if they disagree with you and what you believe, they are your enemy. If you don't agree with me, if you don't go along with what I'm saying, you're my enemy. I don't have to agree with you to show you love. Did you hear that? I don't have to agree with you to show the love of God to you. Let's look closer at what I'm trying to say here. Look at Romans 12, verse 20. And we're going to go back to Matthew, but let's look at Romans 12, verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, whoever it is you consider your enemy, for whatever reason, they are your enemy. Feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I want you to do good. Again, the meaning of feeding them does not mean take them out to dinner. Did you hear me? Oh, we enemies, but I'm going to take you to Longhorn. I don't think so. But instead of revenge, render kindness. Return courtesy for injury. With kindness, you can soften and ease that spirit towards you. And it may end up you going out to them. But first of all, you must show kindness. Not revenge. Remember, before you received Christ, you were God's enemy. And yet God fed you. He clothed you. And preserved your life. He loved you to the point he sacrificed his only begotten son. Now, going back, bless them that curse you. One definition of curse is when a person uses profane words or phrases. Blessing is to invoke or call for divine favor. So when someone uses words against you, when someone does something like this, cuss you out, call you everything but a child of God, I want you to act like a child of God. Call on God to give them divine favor. Pastor, I don't know about all that now. They roll raging and acting all ugly and I honk my horn and they give me the finger. They give me one finger. What you want to do? You want to give them two. But bless them. Father, forgive them. They really don't know what they're doing. They just don't know what could happen down the road. And if you roll rage with them, it may happen to you too. Why would I do that? Why would I bless them when they've cursed me? Because you're looking at another soul. You are looking at how you were before you found Jesus. Huh? Anybody ever gave somebody the bird? But the Lord showed you mercy. That person may have prayed for you. Now, it goes on to say, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Have you ever felt like you are being treated less than who you are? Anybody? Man, we all home folk. We can be honest. You can raise your hand. I mean, can't nobody see you on conference? Have you ever felt like you are being disrespected and someone is wronging you? Anybody felt that way? On your job? At school? Or even in your own household? Well, Pastor, what do I do? Pray. Say what? Pray. How? First, because you have forgiven them, say, Father, forgive them. Then, Father, strengthen me. Then, go show them kindness. Oh, step one, you forgive. Step two, you ask God to forgive them. Huh? Is that resonating? Step three, because you have forgiven, you've asked God forgiven, you still need something. You're still praying. Now, Lord, you got to give me strength. Because the next thing you asking me to do is show them kindness. I need some strength to show them kindness. I need some strength so I can do it not out of my own might. Right. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you begin to do this, it does not mean they will see or respond to what you're doing immediately. They may even be more sarcastic. What do you think you're doing? You trying to butter me up? Who you think you are? And when they do see it, it doesn't mean that they're going to change. What needs to be changed is you. Oh, come on. You can't change nobody but yourself. Amen. Through Christ. Amen. Saints, we have been married 50 years plus some months. And for 50 years plus some months, I have not been able to change her. She's still going to go to them shopping malls, them stores, and shop. I can't change that. But what I can change is me. Well, how do you do that, Pastor? I just wait patiently. Until she come out. Now, has that affected her? Yeah, because sometimes she come out and say, did I stay too long?
But you can only change yourself. And you do it as unto the Lord for your soul's sake. Now, look at verse 45. It says that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. If God bless them that curse him, why can't we? We're just talking about doing good today. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? If the only ones we show love to is our own, how are we any different than the world? Aren't we supposed to be a peculiar people? A royal priesthood? One who has brought us out of darkness into the marvelous light? So we're only going to do as darkness does, then what kind of light are we letting shine? This brings us back to where it says, do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. But what else does God say to us in Galatians? Go back to verse 1 of Galatians 6. Brethren, talking to God's people, those who are saved, those who know Christ, those who have received him. If a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. A fault is a weakness, a mistake, an error. We who are spiritual, not religious, spiritual. You know, and let me just say this. I'm so glad we are not religious here.
Amen.
I'm so glad that the reason why these seats are empty is not because of being religious.
Amen.
I'm so glad that he has delivered us from such that we may hear what God is saying.
Amen.
That we may make a change in our life. But we who are spiritual, not religious, but we who know the word, restore. Restore means to bring back. In order to bring back, that means I was someplace once before. And I have turned from it, so now I need to be brought back. To bring back to an original condition, which is saved and on fire for Jesus. What state or condition was the person in before they fell? That is where we want to bring them back to. Jesus died that we may be restored. We lost it with Adam, but we restored by Christ. If you are overtaken, you are in a bad place. Did y'all hear me? If you are overtaken, you are in a bad place. It's what we call backslid. You did to Michael Jackson. Anybody ever been there? Anybody agree that you, at one time, you done backslid? I need to be restored. Let me ask this question, and you answer it how it fits you. Can you say, I am more excited about Jesus now than when I first received? I am more excited about Jesus. I mean, it just get gooder and gooder. Better and better. I am ready to lay down my life. I'm ready for his return. If the eastern skies crack right now, I'm gone. Or would you say, I am less excited about Jesus now than when I first believed? There has been some things that I have dealt with, and there's some things that I'm going through. There are things that's happening that I'm just not so excited anymore. I mean, I'm ready to sing that song, Take Me Back to the Place. If you are more excited, you should be willing and ready to help those who are not. See, we all got some work to do, don't we? If you are not excited, what will it take to get you more excited? Are you willing to receive from those who are? So if I'm excited, I need to go help Sister Roslyn where she ain't excited. And where she ain't excited, she can help me in her excitement. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Let me tell you. When we first got our home in Brighton and getting it built, things happening, I was excited. She was excited. And then here comes some news. And the news came about, well, you may not be able to do such. And then all of a sudden, Roslyn wasn't so excited. I said, it's going to be okay. Let me encourage you with the excitement I still have. And it helped. And then all of a sudden, something came through. I mean, look, we just couldn't get the loan. I wasn't so excited. And Roslyn said, it's going to be okay. We help one another. Do you know in the body of Christ, there are going to be times where you are not so excited. Somebody needs to restore you. Somebody needs to help you. Somebody needs to give you what it is that excites you again. Amen. And what I must say is those who are excited, it says, do it in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So how many, I can't come up to DJ, you gotta be excited. Get excited. If I was to do such in the spirit of my flesh, you may be swinging back. Huh? You don't want nobody beating up on you. Even though I'm talking about physically, you don't want nobody beating up on you with words. But you want to be encouraged. Be lifted up. Where you are weak, let me give you something that will strengthen you. Let me feed you with words of life. And you do it in the spirit of meekness, unless you become discouraged and the experiences of what you're going through. Does that make sense to anybody? Amen. Look at verse 2. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. When I bear or support your emotional difficulty, it means I'm going to help you in whatever way I can. It does not mean I'm going to take it on for myself or take it for you.
Whatsoever way is possible that lies in me, I'll help. In that I fulfill the law of Christ, which is in love. For a man think himself to be something, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Amen. 1 Corinthians tells us that if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. A man who thinks himself to be something is proud. He thinks of himself to be more righteous and holy. Those who suppose themselves to be this way in the sight of God are only as sounding brass and tingling cymbals. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. The only rule for a Christian is the word of Christ. The only pattern for his imitation is the example of Christ. He should not compare himself with others. They are not his standard. Christ has left us an example that we should follow his steps. Look at verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. You have to answer to God for yourself. That is why men ought to be careful and watch themselves. That is why men ought to care for and watch themselves, not others. Because every man will be judged before God according to his own life and not by comparing himself with others. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. God has seen fit to teach men by the ministry of man. He has given us passages according to his heart that will feed us with knowledge and understanding. God has instructed us. Then it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Don't ridicule or mimic God. When you are helping someone, don't think you can fool God. Don't think God does not know the motive in which you do something. Don't think God does not know when you are doing alms before men when you should be doing it unto the Lord. God knows the intent of the heart and knows what it is when it is wrong as well as those that do right. Let me share something that happened to me the other day. God knows the intent of this person, these people. He knows why and everything around it. But this is what happened. I was in Kroger parking lot doing what I usually do, waiting for Rosin's call. And a car was next to me parked the opposite way. And there was a basket on the back side in between my car and their car. Then a man and woman came out with a basket full of food. The man moved the basket that was at my side behind my car so I couldn't see it. Then the woman took her basket and put it in the front where I could see. So this means, in order for me to move, I've got to get out my car, move the basket they put there, and drive on. Now, let me tell y'all, I say how dare you. Was it intentional or unintentional? Was God trying my faith? Was I going to think evil and murmur? How was I going to respond to all of this? Am I going to tell Rosalind? How could I see all things working together for the good in this situation? I'm going to have to get out my car and move the basket that they should have taken where they're supposed to take it. Deja hadn't even come and got the baskets. However, I did not say anything. I didn't even tell Rosin. I just continued to do what I do. Wait for Rosin's phone call. And I said, I'll deal with it then. Let me show you how God worked. Another car pulled up shortly afterwards, right next to me. The lady got out, and the cart that was in front of my car, she took it to go get groceries. And again, I'm still waiting on Rosalind. When the lady came out, she didn't even have a basket. So she moved the basket that was in front of my car and took it in. Ain't look good. Saints, when you know something, or when you know something is not right, don't get hung up and caught up on yourself. Stay calm and wait on God. See, if Roz would have came out any sooner, I'd have had to move that cart. But the cart was moved, so all I had to do is pull forward and load up the groceries that we receive. Watch this. Verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The world will call this karma. Karma is a Hinduism or Buddhism saying, which means the effort, the effect of a person's actions during the phase of the person's existence, regarding as determined the person's destiny. That is a bunch of words meaning you got what's coming to you. But Job said it like this: as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. Romans said, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. You cannot expect to lead a bad life and go to heaven. Did you hear me? As your present life ends, so will your eternal life be. Whether you sow is, whether your sowing is to the flesh or to the Spirit, so will your eternal reaping be. To sow means to carry out the concerns of a man's natural life. To reap is the enjoyment or punishment in the next life to come. This also goes to those who trust and rely in the law. One writer says, he who rejects the gospel and trusts only in the rites and ceremonies of the law for salvation will reap endless disappointments and misery. He who trusts in Christ and receives the gifts and grace of the Holy Spirit shall reap life everlasting. Choose this day eternal life or eternal damnation. But let us not be discouraged, but encouraged, because the next verse says this: and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us not become tired, fatigued, exhausted, or impatient in waiting. For in due season, at the day of judgment, then we shall receive the full reward of all our self-denials and charities. We shall reap the enjoyment of what we are sowing. Faint not means to relax or rest in Him. The more we relax and rest, the more at peace we will be. Knowing this, while you rest in Christ, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are the household of faith. Whatever you do, don't measure yourself
by the character of man, but always put on the character that God has given us. Love, peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Because against such, there is no law. My time is up, and I thank you for yours.